kids, it's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, viewers? How's everyone doing tonight?
Are you talking to the...
We're fine.
are we the viewers?
Probably. Well, you're not on Twitch, are you, Jacob?
No. I'm old and I don't understand how Twitch works. I just don't understand the point of it. I only watch it to watch Mr. Rogers and Bob Ross.
You should log in on your Xbox and join the stream and
chat
along with us.
We did it.
Yay.
Hey.
We did it, Reddit.
He finally finished his Sonic Mario slash fiction.
I'm sorry. I'm usually a faster reader, but it got very juicy near the end there. So,
reader? I thought you were writing it.
Oh, no. I read it, and then I remaster it. Can you remaster fan fiction? I don't know. Is that a thing?
Remix
I think people
it.
Did with My Immortal, so yeah.
I mean, isn't that essentially what 50 Shades of Grey was? It was just a remastered fan fiction of Twilight.
Yeah, that's true. It was.
Which is sad.
You know, I mean, we could be making so... I forget. I think it was Vice that had an article with, like, the two women who essentially cornered the market of dinosaur erotica.
Oh, I use that. I've been trying to write a joke for a while about people who get really cocky about books. Like, if you ever try, like, say, I'm going to throw away some books, they lose their mind. Like, every book is sacred. Try dinosaur erotica and tell me every book is sacred.
All right. Here's the thing, though. I like reading that interview with them. It's just like, make fun of them all you want. Like, there's months where they're pulling in $100,000. I'm just like,
I'm all for, I mean, the entertainment business is hard. Make your money. I'm all for that. I'm just saying, if we lost those books, I don't think it's like a tragedy to human history. That's the only point I'm making.
Here's the irony. They will be the only ones to survive for the next 5,000 years.
That'll be the one book that's found, yeah, in 5,000 years, and they'll think our entire society was built around. They worshipped velociraptors and wanted to have sex with them.
These people were fucking weird.
No. It's not that they worshipped them and wanted to have sex with them. They did. This is a historical document.
They did. They had no choice. lest they be destroyed.
I feel like we're missing out on so much content not having this on the show.
Why did you hit record?
Well, it is recording, but I need an actual intro because the beginning where we couldn't get Ryan in the call is boring to listen to.
There is no such thing as good to listen to on this show.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, if anything, it's a lateral move compared to the rest of the show. So, I mean, it's...
All right, fuck it. I'll find a way to edit it. So, yeah, what's up? This is the SML Podcast. I'm your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole, how are you doing?
I'm good, but I feel bad for not ever having read Dinosaur Erotica.
You have lived, Cole. You have
I lived. Feel so vanilla for my love of vampires that I've missed out on the dinosaurs.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Until you've read Taken by the T-Rex, I mean, yeah.
Now is the eternal question I'm faced with. Do I keep the dinosaur erotica conversation in here, or do I leave it go and have everyone really confused as to why Cole's talking about dinosaur erotica?
You have to leave it in. Fill in the gaps. They're like, why were they talking about being banged gay by the billionaire dinosaur?
Oh, Chuck Tingle gets into this now.
Jacob Garner is joining us this week, as well as returning special guest Ryan Niemiller. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I just want to let it be known right now, Cole, I think last time I was on the show, you were not. And I will not return to the show unless I know you have written or read all of the Dinosaur Erotica. I will be quizzing you.
All of it.
All of it.
I have homework.
You have homework, yes. I refuse to return to the SML podcast lest you know the entire catalog of Dinosaur Erotica.
I really hope you've got a Kindle Unlimited subscription.
I mean, I'm just going to say, anybody that knows me knows my gamer tag is literally from vampire porn. So it's Eternal Rage, and it's R-H-A-G-E, and it's after a series called The Black Dagger Brotherhood. And it's literally just vampire dicks, and it's wonderful, and I love it.
Well, hold on, is it male and female vampires, or is it just a sausage fest of vampires?
Well, it depends on which one you want to read.
That's the thing on the episode. Vampire part, there's options. There's something for everybody.
I'm just saying, it's. I mean, the book series is like. I'm not even caught up anymore. That's how many there are. I met the author and I'm still not caught up anymore. I cared enough to go meet the author when I was like, I was only like 3 weeks postpartum, if even that. I just had a C-section.
and just to reiterate, you're talking about vampire erotica, not dinosaur erotica. Yes,
not the dinosaur, because I missed out on the dinosaur erotica craze. There is still time. I am not that old that I could... although it may remind me of my younger years, maybe, since I am.
Wait, hold on. What, I'm old as the dinosaurs. Hold on. What were you doing in your younger years with dinosaurs?
Yeah, I may or may not have been.
So you're just gonna.
I was fisted by a stegosaurus.
You're just gonna read these, and you're just gonna be like, "Oh man, they stole my life story." What
memory.
The fuck? Why am I not getting royalties for my story now?
Yeah, I also like how Cole said she was not caught up on the vampire erotica, and I don't want to diminish the people who write this. I don't feel it's exactly, you know, the next. You know, I think you could probably crank out a few of those per weekend.
Well, I
am a bit, discerning about my vampire porn.
I'm just like, it's probably not the new Game of Thrones book where you need 2 decades to really do it. You could probably just get a lot of those out pretty fast, I would think. Again, I'm not in that world, but...
Here's the thing about the series that I like. And I said it's called The Black Dagger Brotherhood. A new one comes out every 3 or 4 years. But she also writes a couple of other series as well. One of which actually did get picked up for a TV show pilot.
So in the mythical creature erotica world, does she kind of use the Call of Duty? Where, like, every 3 years, a new book for each one comes out.
Kind of. Like,
this year.
It's multiple studios.
It'll be Mummies next year. Mermaids year after. There's, like, a rotation that just goes.
I mean, I jokingly refer to it as my vampire porn and stuff, because that's what my husband calls it. Because there's usually a book laying around with a partially nude male on the front. But I actually like the stories. I don't give a fuck about the porn aspect of it. There's like this really cool world that she's built where like there's two different societies of like vampires and another literally called the Lessening Society. And like they're at war, and the porn aspect of it's just like, eh. But I like the world she's built.
Cole, I'm one of those people. You're at that age where you actually do read Playboy for the articles.
Yeah.
I was just going to say that.
I'm just like,
you just get to that age where you're like, this is a really interesting thought piece, huh?
I'm not the horny housewife that was like, over this kind of stuff because I don't care. I just don't fucking care. But I'm like, now wait a second. You tell me they're wearing shit kickers and they're like having full on wars in the street. And I'm like, the happily ever after shit, I don't give a fuck about. I just want to read about them kicking the shit out of each other.
While fucking.
Different strokes for different folks.
Indeed, different
literal,
strokes.
Literally.
Indeed. Yeah, your erotic needs have just shifted. That's all.
Like, I'm just old and angry now, and I just want to read about people fighting.
What the fuck is this episode? Jesus Christ.
It's a hot start.
Ryan, how have you been? How is It's been a few months since you've been on the show. How are things going?
Do you regret coming back?
I mean, I always do, but Joe is really good. He waits just long enough that I forgot how miserable it was last time. That's how he generally does. He's very good with the scheduling there.
The same thing happens with having kids.
You're like, I thought I want another one, and then instantly you're like, oh, whoops, this son is of a bitch. Mistake. Yeah. Oh, no.
You get amnesia somewhere around the 18-month mark, and you're like, it wasn't so bad. Yeah, and then
but I made a commitment.
Like, the fuck was I doing?
Yeah, I made this commitment. I'm here.
We're at the point where a bunch of my friends from college are having kids, like their first kids, and my wife and I are just like, maybe we should have a third. And then we're just like, wait a second, 15 years from now, after our youngest goes off to college, we will have peace in this house. No, we're not going to do that third. No, we're just going to get more dogs. Get more dogs.
Yeah. But things are going good. It's since last time, I'm actually starting to get on tour a little bit more.
That is good to hear.
I'm in the middle of doing 7 weekends in, out of 8. So that's nice. I go to Albany this week, scenic Albany, New York. and then after that, I get a week off. I'm actually moving into a house, so my video game collection does not have to live in a storage unit anymore. My girlfriend is a sweet lady. We're renting a house because buying one is insane right now. So we're renting a house. It's a 4-bedroom. She's given me 2 of those bedrooms to make into game rooms. So I am super stoked.
Dang.
Yeah, she gets the rest of the house. I told her you can put, if you want to put doilies everywhere, that's you can get your call, whatever you want.
Are you saying you're not going to have doilies in your game room?
No, it's going to be packed with doilies.
Okay. No, I just want to make sure.
Okay. Joe, it's going to be full of doilies and live, laugh, love. Like,
okay, Karen. I have seen some pretty badass, like, game-themed doilies. Like, we make fun of that kind of shit, but the craft world is full of gamers and nerds, too. And we make some pretty crazy shit.
Cole, can I just ask you, how often are you searching for doilies?
I'm just saying, I know how to crochet, and I have looked up some patterns because I was bored, okay?
Yeah, I don't know what they're called, but I have a bunch of those little, they're essentially like the crochet dolls of video game characters.
Yeah, Amigurumis.
Yes, yeah, I have a bunch of those. That was my favorite part when going to conventions and stuff was a thing. I don't care about like comic books really that much, but I always find the people who have those like art shops and things. That's what I do. I go one day, Gen Con was the big one when I was still living in Indianapolis, and I'm not a big tabletop guy, but 70,000 people are there and they have a bunch of independent artists who make stuff. So I go one day and I buy a bunch of posters and original art and little crochet Mega Men, I guess you would say. I just go nuts with it. So I have a lot of craftsy stuff, too. No doilies yet, though. That's the next step.
I do wish I was more inclined to do fan art, because I think I'd do a little better as an artist.
You would if just I wasn't be stuck just drawing my
own shit. I don't anyway.
Dinosaur erotica. If you could crochet me some dinosaur erotica, I will pay $1.
I have some friends I know could do it.
There we go. I mean, we can finally get reptile fucking Johnny Cage on a doily. There we go.
Oh, Jesus. I bet Jacob has an image of that ready to go.
I'm looking for it on Google right now.
Oh, Christ. I'm not using it for the show.
I can't find any of these gamer doilies that you speak of, Cole. I think you're lying to me.
No, they're out there. You just don't know how to search Etsy properly. Properly. You have to wade through all the live, laugh, love shit to find the really good shit.
But that's my favorite. Like,
I actually found somebody that was selling a replica of Majima's jacket from Kiwami. The leather, yellow leather snakeskin jacket. Somebody had replicas on Etsy they had made.
Jeez.
Yeah. Oddly enough, Yakuza shit is wildly popular.
Oh, I'd believe that.
And well, every time I see it, the game finally started blowing up. Work.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't surprise me. Like, that series seemed to, it was like an underground kind of, you had to be like a really hardcore game nerd to really be into that series. And now it's everywhere. I still need to play Like a Dragon. I've heard it's amazing.
Yeah, I've seen it played. I don't actually like the Yakuza games that much, personally.
But... Another reason to hate you.
Yeah. Now, what if you could get Yakuza on a doily?
I don't know. I think I would be inclined to take a doily if it had that Majima's jacket pattern on it, because that's pretty.
That would be badass.
Yeah.
I'd want that doily.
Funny thing is, talking about Yakuza, that actually could bring us to the news of the week.
Look at me!
Yeah, I was trying to find a way to bring it back into news, but Yakuza Lost Judgment has been leaked on the PlayStation Store in Japan. It's expected to be announced tomorrow as we're recording the show, but, yeah. You know, leaks happen. Supposedly,
tomorrow's supposed to be, like, Judgment Day and all that, right?
Yeah, they've had a countdown, and it's supposed to be revealed tomorrow, but, you know, leaks happen. And it's been outed early. It's supposed to release in September in Japan. No other information is known. I would wager there will be an Xbox version, given how they've been releasing games in the series anymore. But I guess we'll see.
I mean, almost the entire series is on Game Pass now. Yeah. So I'd be shocked if it wasn't. It could potentially even be a day one Game Pass with all the deals they've been making with stuff like that.
That would be cool. I would love to see more Yakuza come to Game Pass. And speaking of Game Pass, there's a lot of additions hitting Game Pass. See, look at this. Segue into more news.
Yeah, now it's feeling like a professional show. It was a lot of fan fiction and pornography, and now
we're talking about news. We're going from dinosaur fan fiction to Dragon Quest.
Yeah, puff puff. That's what we're doing.
But yeah, Game Pass editions, bunch of games coming to Game Pass. May 4th this week, we got Dragon Quest Builders 2 on console and PC. May 6th, we got FIFA 21 on console and PC. Outlast 2 on everything. And then May 13th, we are getting Final Fantasy X and X-2 HD. Just Cause 4 Reloaded. Psychonauts, Red Dead Online, and Remnant from the Ashes on PC.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't the announce essentially that Dragon Quest Builders 2 is coming to Xbox, the Game Pass announcement?
Yeah.
Yeah, they've done a really good job. And seems to be, you know, they did that with Octopath, too. Like, games that you're like, there's not a chance in hell that would ever be on Xbox when they were announced. Mm-hmm. And now they're just like, oh yeah, now you can just have them as part of your subscription, enjoy.
Surprise, it's on Game Pass. Not all good news, though. A couple of games are leaving Game Pass on the 15th. We are losing Alan Wake, Dungeon of the Endless, Final Fantasy IX, and then PC is losing Battlefleet Gothic Armada 2, Hotline Miami on PC.
Why do I just have this horrible image in my head of feet, like, battling it out?
I mean, we just had Flavor Type.
Yeah, I mean, and the game Genital Jousting has existed for a while, so why wouldn't we have Battle Feet as well?
Oh god, y'all are terrible. But Funcom also announced that Conan Exiles will be coming to Game Pass soon. They didn't reveal a date, but it will be coming.
Good. Oh, wow. Conan definitely could benefit from a boost in player base. Also, it's a quick completion. You can use
console commands
and knock it out like stupid cheater. But cheater. I will say, I still put about 200 hours into it, even despite that.
Damn.
Yeah, I played
took
on
a long
server.
Time to figure out the console commands. They were like 190 hours of it was that.
I played on a server with some friends, and I decided I was going to be the server Santa. And so when everybody would log off in the evening and their bodies would just be collapsed in their houses, I'd get online and I'd craft a bunch of the arty shit that you could do, because they were all like so focused on building stuff to battle with that their houses were plain and it was annoying me. So I was like crafting decorations for their houses, and then I would
go
in.
Were you making virtual doilies for them?
Yeah, basically. Well, no, it was more like mounted heads, but I was just making decorative shit, and like I would sneak in and leave them in their houses, and then when they get up the next day and log on, they'd be like, what the fuck?
You know what? In all fairness, that is the type of like breaking and entering I could get behind. Like if I woke up and someone like, oh, someone broke in, and they just put like nice paintings up on the wall, I'd be like, all right, I can get on par with that.
Whose family is this? They look great.
I don't know if anybody's noticed, but when it comes to online things like that, I'm a bit of an agent of chaos. And I just like to do weird shit to make everybody go, what? We played Ark, me and Stu did it for like 500 or 600 hours. And like, he would be so proud. He'd be like, oh, look at this T-Rex I got. And he'd get offline and I'd immediately like name it Raymundo and paint it pink.
Jesus.
That's just the kind of shit I do when I'm given freedom in a game. God anyway, damn. Next.
You can't just next me when you hijack the news like that.
Again. Next.
Get it together, Joe. Keep it going.
Come on.
My bad.
You're supposed to be hosting this shit. What are you letting me run away for?
This is a shit show. Discord is partnering with Sony to bring Discord integration to the PS5 next year. So it went from Microsoft looking to buy them to them partnering with Sony. How weird is that?
I was really surprised by that news.
I was surprised by it as well. But then again, if you look back how Sony like just got rid of a bunch of their social shit on the PS4 and PS5, that suddenly makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it's it leads me to believe that maybe the talks with Microsoft weren't as serious as it was kind of reported at the time. Because everything I read about it made it seem like, oh, this is pretty much imminent.
Yeah.
You know, this is going to happen. And maybe if, like, they were just testing the waters and they were like, oh, we have a good deal with Sony and we get to still maintain ownership. Let's just do that instead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, whatever works for them. Hopefully they eventually bring it to Switch and Xbox as well, and we have a unified chat platform for gaming. That would be incredible.
I thought Microsoft said that like they were still going to resume talks in like the fall or something like that.
I saw that too, but I don't remember the specifics of it. Maybe
you have to wonder if those talks are off the table now that Sony is involved.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe it's a trick. Maybe they'll be like, we'll buddy up with Sony, and then after we're firmly planted in Sony's operating system, Microsoft buys us.
Yeah, but like the way those companies work though, that like Microsoft would probably still let Sony keep it on there.
Yeah, because they're going to get the money either way.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned like the dream of doing this, maybe a unified chat platform. I mean, the news came out during the Epic versus Apple lawsuit that Sony's the only company that charges developers if they want to do crossplay. So I doubt they're like super excited to let other people use Discord too. I'm sure they have some sort of agreement in there that they wouldn't be pleased about it anyway.
Yeah, Sony doesn't like to share.
Not at all.
Speaking of Sony, they have registered a trademark for Sunset Overdrive, so makes you wonder if we'll see the series return over on PlayStation.
That would be weird.
I still haven't played the first one.
You should, it's really good.
I've got 1,000 games now in my backlog. Just on Xbox. Oh my God, not again. I swear to God. I don't understand how buying an Xbox Series X is going to help my backlog.
Because you'll want to play the things because they look prettier?
No, if you get it on All Access, it's because you get 2 years of Game Pass with it.
Oh my God, that just makes my backlog even worse.
Exactly.
We don't talk about backlogs here.
Dragon Quest Builders just hit Game Pass this week. Did we tell you that? Did you pay attention to that?
No, well, I mean, you told me about it on Facebook.
I just said it 5 minutes ago, you dick.
Honestly, I kind of tune out during like the whole like, oh, this is going to hit during like on Game Pass because I don't have Game Pass, so this is not going to affect me in any way, shape, or form.
He's still thinking about Dinosaur Erotica.
He is.
Let his mind wander.
Thinking about that Stegosaurus fisting.
No, Stegosaurus, please. I'm not into that kind of stuff. Like pterodactyls, to be wrapped in the wings of a pterodactyl. Ah, yes.
That actually sounds like the title of one of the books. Wings of a pterodactyl.
I would honestly look it up right now, but I only have my work computer in front of me, and so I'm not gonna I'm not going to try looking up dinosaur pussy. Erotica.
That'll raise some eyebrows.
They'll just
Everybody
at home office is just going to be like, oh, that's what.
Taken by the pterodactyl. Ravaged by a pterodactyl. Captured by a pterodactyl. Those were all three by different people.
Oh, so it's not a trilogy?
Hunger of the pterodactyl. That's a fourth author.
All right.
Deities and dinosaurs.
Yeah, you're getting all your pterodactyl needs met.
That's a fifth author. Why are these all different? Gay for the pterodactyl. What is this?
It's a spinoff.
I mean, they have to be different authors because otherwise, you know, if you write that many books yourself, you're just, you know, retreading over the same subject over and over. You gotta vary it up with the dinosaurs that you have in your erotica. Can't just focus on one of them.
I don't know if I can even say the name of this one out loud. Like, how is
sure you can.
Essentially, what's happening in the dinosaur erotica world is that they have crossplay. if Sony was writing pterodactyl porn, they would not let anyone else do it. However, this is like Nintendo and Microsoft working together to get all of the more people to be into pterodactyl porn.
Well, no, Microsoft and Nintendo would be cool with it. Sony would charge you for that
porn.
Jesus.
I was trying to get
you back on the news, Joe. That was my way to transition.
It's a lost cause, honestly. But I appreciate it.
I did my best.
Xbox just dropped a whole bunch of titles on the FPS boost list, with the total now hitting 97 games. There's too many to list. I'm not going to read them off, because that would just take way too long, and it would be obnoxious, and that's exactly something we would do on the show, but I'm not going to.
Yeah, I'm kind of like, is
this 99 bottles of beer on the wall. 99 bottles of beer.
Now, there's a good list of games there. Assassin's Creed, Dying Light, a bunch of stuff on there.
Yeah, I think it's just a cool thing. I mean, a lot of those games are old, or, you know, old in the terms of how video games work.
Yeah.
So it's an unnecessary thing that they're just doing to make the experience better. I'm fully in support of that.
Do you have a Series X?
I do, yes. I was lucky enough when I had my 18 websites open during the initial pre-order that one of them worked.
Sweet.
Yeah, there was a lot of people that were like, oh, you just got that because you're famous. So I'm like, if I was famous, I wouldn't have had to reload 18 websites for an hour until one went through. I just would have had Terry Crews give me one.
They would have given you a fridge to go along with it.
Exactly. Yeah, I wouldn't be... cry like I but just like the like getting one of those pre-orders is such like a euphoria, and it's so stupid because it's just like, well, I would get one eventually anyway. They're eventually going to be available, but man, I celebrated more than when I was on America's Got Talent when I got that Walmart order to go through.
You were crying harder. And you were like thanking everyone. Like, I want to thank my parents for this moment.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord. But yeah, the whole FPS boost thing, I think it's really cool. I hope they keep adding more games to the list. It's cool to see them do these improvements for older games. I want them to go back to adding new games to the backward compatibility list. That's what I want to see.
Yep, same here.
I have hundreds of games on the 360 that I can't play on the Series X that I would be happy to fire back up again on current gen, or there's plenty of games I would happily buy if they were available on current gen.
I understand that there's, you know, a lot of licensing issues and all of that is way above my pay grade or comprehension for how all the legal stuff works. But my dream, because I'm a collector, so I have like 3,000 games for like 30 different systems. I have a bunch of stuff. I would love to be able to just have my Series X take all of my Xbox games so I could keep the other stuff kind of packed in a box. Just so I had, because for space issues, it gets a little weird. Mm-hmm. So if they could just play everything on there, that would be amazing.
Yeah, like I have an original Xbox hooked up. I have a 360 hooked up. I have a Series X hooked up. It's, you know, let me just put everything on one console.
I still have to keep my Xbox One X hooked up in case anything I play involves Kinect, because you can't do Kinect on the Series X.
Oh, poor Kinect. I think they gave up on it too soon.
Yeah. I wish they would have done it more subtly. Just because I think the Kinect is pretty cool. Like, I used it a lot for just, like, verbal commands. Especially, you know, the Xbox on, Xbox off, like, all that stuff. I loved it for that.
Xbox then, pause was the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah, and then they just kind of went, eh, never mind.
Rootbeer is my jam in chat saying, I want all the 360 shmups to be available, including the Japan-only ones. That would be fantastic. There are so many good 360 shmups that we need. So many. Anyway, the current rumor is that Microsoft is working with IO Interactive on a fantasy RPG dubbed Project Dragon. Has anyone heard this news?
Yes. I guess there's like a little bit of rumbling that they think it might be a rebooted Scalebound.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering too.
Do not play with my heart.
Oh my god, are you serious?
That is totally speculation.
Do not just play because, with my heart.
Oh my god, that would be amazing. Because I remember Joe showing me the demo for Scalebound, and I just like sat there and was just like, this looks amazing. Why did this get canceled?
Yeah, it's sad, but maybe this Project Dragon is a reboot. And maybe it's back. Who knows?
Yeah, I would love to see it back, because think of all the Scalebound erotica that we would
get. Oh my god, so much.
What happens if you type Scalebound into Amazon?
I don't know what happens.
Yeah, is my pre-order for Scalebound?
Oh, look, there's I'm going to be so sad. Vinyl decal protective skin cover for PS4 console, and it's Scalebound themed. There's a matching headphone set too.
Nice.
And then after that, it's just literal digital scales.
Oh, that works.
That was worth it to get.
So you're gonna buy the PS4 skin? PS4 skin.
That was good.
You made this show disgusting, Joe. How was
it? Did
it was a very highbrow, intelligent show until you made that joke, you monster.
What have I done? Good lord.
Jacob looks pretty awesome. Cole just shared it with us. That actually looks really cool. It makes no sense. It should not exist, but it does look very cool.
I'm going to have to use that for the image for the episode now so people could see it.
Oh, I thought you were going to use like the cover to Taken by the T-Rex.
No, hell no. We'll get banned.
This is a family show.
We will get banned.
Why? She's fully clothed.
So anyway, some news that Jacob is sad about. I think there's some potential for it, though. Metalhead Software, the developers of Super Mega Baseball, have been bought by EA. Jacob.
I'm not happy about it at all.
Why?
Like, I mean, because it's EA. We know what happens. We know where this road goes.
They're going to kill it.
Yeah, they're going to kill it in like 5 to 6 years. And it's just like, I mean, on one hand, I'm happy because, you know, they got their shitloads of money. Like, they definitely deserve it. And they're going to have lots of cool stuff to play with that EA is going to be able to fund. But we all know how this story ends in like 5 to 6 years. And yeah. I'm not pleased by it at all. The thing is, of course, we don't know what's exactly going to happen with Super Mega Baseball. I mean, they said that there is at least one more update coming, even though it's going to be small. But then after that, they're just like, well, we don't know. I had talked about this in my Super Mega Baseball 3 review, that the game was like, it was closer to like the simulation sport games that we get now, or more realistic games than like the cartoony arcadey gameplay that we got with the first two.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't know if like it was their bid to be taken more seriously or what, or if like maybe that's the direction that they really wanted to go in. But of course, like, this raises all sorts of questions because, I mean, with MLB The Show going multi-platform this year, you have to wonder if EA is suddenly going to be gunning for the MLB license now that it's obviously not just you know, PlayStation exclusive for the show, and you know, nobody wants to make RBI Baseball, which, to be fair, nobody wants to play it either. I think I reviewed 2 years of it or three.
I don't remember. I know Nord covered it before.
The only fun part about it was the Home Run Derby. That was it.
Like, yeah, I have 100%ed four of those games so far with a goal to finish them all. I just thought it's become my Sisyphus pushing the boulder up the mountain.
Oh, God.
I have no idea why. Like I think the RBI baseball games are not good. I'm not saying they're good, but they qualify for me. They are one of my favorite do other things while gaming games. So if I need to catch up on Netflix or YouTube and I'm just messing around, it's a game you don't need to put your brain into in the least.
So you're playing it now is what you're saying.
Exactly. I've been tuning you out playing RBI Baseball 19.
19.
Yeah, I finished 14. I just finished 17 like a month ago. So I'm we're getting there, baby. I'll let you guys know.
Did you skip over 18 and just go to 19? What's the story
I just said 19 arbitrarily. I have not started 18 yet. So yeah, but
playing with our heart there.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm disappointed. The same way that I'm going to need Cole to read all the Dinosaur Erotica, I will finish RBI Baseball 18 by the next time I'm here. That'll be the trade-off.
Ryan, don't do it. Your life is worth living.
This is like the worst version of like when a company does like a steps challenge at the office. We're doing like really horrible, like, okay, I got to finish a terrible baseball game. You got to read a lot of dinosaur porn.
What's my homework?
You got to eat the hottest peppers that have ever existed.
Oh, God. Oh, my Lord. Anyway, some more news. The Switch has sold over 84 million units worldwide so far. Holy shit.
Yeah, and not slowing down either. Like, that's the craziest thing. Like the Switch is awesome, and it's perfect. It's the perfect price. It's got the perfect games. They marketed well. They definitely benefited probably more than anybody with the pandemic as far as like gaming goes. So yeah, good for them, especially after how bad the Wii U did.
Yeah,
that's how fickle the video game industry was, because I remember when the Wii U was kind of out and floundering, every like, you know, hot take you would read is like, Nintendo should get out of the console business. They should get out. Like, maybe they should just license their games to the good companies. And then this happens, you know, just
now they have the fastest selling console in history. Ridiculous. 84 million units, and only a ninth of those are to Ryan.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I posted on Twitter. I'm responsible. I personally own 9 different Switches, and I've purchased another one for a buddy as a gift. So I'm responsible for 10 of those alone. And I'm waiting for my the new blue colored Switch Lite to drop, so I can add that one as well.
Did you get that Fortnite one I linked you to?
That's the only one. The only reason I haven't gotten that one yet is just because I want to find one that has all the codes and everything with it, just for the completionist part of it. Yeah, so there's a couple of models I still need. I still need the Fortnite one. There's a really dope Dragon Quest XI Japan-only one that I just can't bring myself to spend $1,500 to import.
Good Lord.
But, I'm personally going to get Nintendo to 100 million. That is my goal.
Well, you're getting there.
Slow but sturdy. Once I get that game room built, one room of the house will be nothing but Switches, just like just pallets of Switches that I purchased.
Just screens along the wall lined up. That'd be amazing. How many games do you have? One per Switch.
One per Switch. This is my Mario Kart 8 Switch. This is my Breath of the Wild Switch.
Hey, some games are big enough that they take up the whole memory on the Switch. Which one's your NBA Switch? Don't have one. It's too big for the system. I didn't want to buy a memory card. I ran out of money buying all the Switches.
Buying every Switch. by disappointing children so they can't get one for Christmas. Because I need pallets of them. Just
Oh, man. Speaking of the Switch, Ni No Kuni 2 Revenant Kingdom Prince's Edition has been rated by the ESRB for the Switch. So if you are a Ni No Kuni fan, number 2's looking to hit the Switch soon. Although it has not been announced yet, though. Gotta love leaks. We love the leaks. Some sad news. The Xbox and Switch releases of Fall Guys has been delayed. No new release window was announced.
Yeah. I'm not surprised.
Yeah. I mean, if the game's not ready, the game's not ready. But
well, Epic bought the developers, though.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I'm sure it'll come out eventually, but probably any port work they've done is going to have to be modified. Because you know that Epic is going to be like, and now it's in a new season every 3 weeks, and you have to buy shit from our store. And
well, they've already had weeks or seasons, and
yeah, but they're going to be like more often. I don't think they had the like where you had to buy the whole pass, did they?
To buy the pass? No, they just had costume packs that you could buy with real money.
But it wasn't like a pass, like the passes.
No, it was just a season. There was no pass you had to buy.
That's not going to stay that way.
Yeah. I just assumed that Mediatonic was still so sad and mourning Gears Pop having it closed, so they just couldn't bring themselves to do anymore. They all took a month sabbatical and it pushed back the. It's one of those things that like. I don't know if that's going to be good long term because, like, I still like Fall Guys, but it's definitely a lot of the shines off that apple.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I think for it to be successful, I think anything will be good on Switch just because there's a ton of Switches. But that game, I don't think it was ever officially confirmed, but like it has to be on Game Pass day one, right? Like that's the only way that I think it would do well on Xbox. No one's going to make Xbox their first time they played it if they haven't played it already.
Yeah.
Unless it's Game Pass.
It has to be Game Pass, or if it's free to play.
Yeah. I'm expecting it to be free to play.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised with Epic. But speaking of Epic, the Epic versus Apple court case revealed a few exclusivity updates on Microsoft's side. Tetris Effect Connected was revealed as a 6-month update exclusive on the Connected updates. Stalker is a 3-month console exclusive. And the Gunk from Image and Form is exclusive in perpetuity.
Damn.
Yeah.
Perpetuity.
Yeah. That sounds forever.
Damn.
On the flip side, the devs of Stalker 2 say that there are no plans for a PS5 version of the game, and Game Pass is one of the reasons behind being an Xbox exclusive to begin with. So we'll find out what happens with Stalker 3 months after it releases. But as you could see with Final Fantasy, it's been a year. And there's still no word on that going elsewhere, so having an exclusive window expire doesn't mean anything.
That's true.
Or like Fall Guys, which got delayed.
Right.
The court case also revealed that Microsoft has apparently never earned a profit off of Xbox hardware.
I'm not surprised by that.
I was under the impression that was a given.
Yeah.
I kind of figured the 360 earned them some money near the end, but apparently not.
I mean, that doesn't surprise me. I mean, I forget which one. But there was one Sony console that didn't pull anything. I forget which one it is.
I don't know, but was there's
the three?
There's a bunch of Xbox ones that never pulled any money, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, but I always thought that, I mean, just the kind of understanding was, like, you make your money on your software and your subscription platforms and all that.
Yeah.
I compared it today to somebody... you know, in stand-up comedy, it's kind of the same thing. Clubs don't make their money on ticket sales. They make their money on drinks and food and stuff like that. That's why I'm allowed to give fans comped tickets. I can't give them comped booze.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's not a thing I'm allowed to do. So, it's just kind of like the business model. You make your money when you get people in the building.
Yeah.
And that's why they go so strong now, like, it's so weird because, you know, I want PlayStation to succeed too, because if everyone succeeds, it does well. But if you talk to, like, really hardcore Sony fans, they're like, well, the PlayStation's going to outsell the Xbox, probably.
Yeah.
Because Xbox just wants you to do Game Pass. Like, that's where they don't care where you play the shit. They just want you to play the shit.
Yeah, I think it seems like Sony fanboys still want there to be a console war where a lot of Xbox people are like, can't we just all exist? Like, aren't we past that?
And just play games. Like, yeah. Find the games you want to play. And even where Xbox's
social media is like, play where you want. No one gives a shit. If just play what makes you happy. I mean, again, revealed in that court case, they even had an internal review for The Last of Us 2, where they endlessly praised it and said that it was a game that they wanted to aspire to.
Yeah, it was almost exclusively positive.
Yeah, it's crazy. Microsoft they're just embracing all of gaming, and it's cool to see. They're also now officially, apparently, a partner for Limited Run. So we might be seeing some releases from Limited Run on Xbox in the future.
I am, as a collector, I'm excited about that. I get a lot of Switch stuff on Limited Run for games that I like. So now maybe I'll buy a few less Switches and buy more Xboxes
for these
Limited Run games.
I was just going to say, you could just buy Xboxes and skin them yourself.
Exactly.
And then pretend that they were special editions.
I could have sworn that I had read that Limited Run was saying that they're going to go back and make... not that they are going to, but they're at least going to look at their catalog of titles that, you know, they made stuff for the PS4 and the Switch. And they'll go back and make an Xbox version as well. So
I know they mentioned Bethesda games like Psychonauts. They explicitly mentioned those, considering they're owned by Microsoft now.
I'm hoping for like a Scott Pilgrim one.
I think they confirmed that there was an Xbox version of Scott Pilgrim coming.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, I think when that one first got announced that they said details would be forthcoming, but an Xbox version was planned.
Nice.
Yeah. Some more Microsoft news with Minecraft Dungeons. Mojang released an update for Minecraft Dungeons that brings cloud saves to the game, allowing cross-platform progression. The update is on all consoles and platforms, so you can cloud save your character on PlayStation and fire it up on Switch and play there. That's awesome. I love it.
Yeah, the more of that, the better. Unless it costs Mojang thousands of dollars that they have to pay to Sony for it.
Which it probably did.
Yes.
Nintendo announced the Game Builder Garage for the Nintendo Switch, where you are able to build and share your own games. Is going to be $30, which I was surprised. Everyone I talked to thought it would be a full price game. It comes out June 11th, so it's right around the corner. And it also features mouse controls.
Huh.
Yeah, really? Mouse controls on a Switch game.
I didn't even know that was a possibility.
Yeah.
Are there any other ports
on the dock?
But are there others that support it? Or just this? Is this the first time?
I think this is the first one that supports a mouse.
Huh. I'll be damned.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think this is a cool little game. It doesn't interest me. I don't have... my brain does not work in design space. Like, I can't figure out how to do that. I had to have a buddy make my avatar look like me on the 360 just to give you an idea of how bad I am at it. But I think it's a cool thing. Like, Nintendo's really good at making things accessible, so they might be able to get a lot, you know, you get a lot of young kids who might get into game development because they had this cool little quirky game, you know.
Yeah, Nintendo knows how to make it accessible.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I know my kids are excited about it, but
I'm not too sold on the build, but the share I am down for. Like, I will gladly check out other people's games that they make and rate them or share them or whatever else. I'm not gonna build anything myself. I'm just not that creative, but I'm happy to play other people's creations. Root Beer's My Jam saying there's a Japanese keyboard that released when Animal Crossing came out. So
I did not know that. I mean, it makes sense, and like, I knew you could use dongles and stuff with, because I've seen videos of people using the Xbox controller, the accessibility controller.
No.
So, yeah.
Some cool news. Beach Buggy Racing 2 is getting Hot Wheels DLC.
What?
You didn't hear this, God. Jacob?
No, I didn't. That's awesome.
Beach Buggy Racing 2 is getting Hot Wheels DLC. It will feature 7 new cars, 4 new tracks, and it comes out May 12th for $10.
Wait, is
Carnage
that...
and 6 achievements. Obviously, that's what he estimated.
Of course. Because the other day I saw a tweet about it's like, I can't stop thinking about this upcoming Hot Wheels game. And I thought that there was like a Hot Wheels game.
Yeah, Hot Wheels Unleashed.
Okay, and that thing looks like, I mean, it looks like the Forza Hot Wheels level, right?
Kinda.
Okay, I mean, because, I mean, that would be crazy as shit if, like, Vector Unit had made, like, you know, Forza level, you know, like a Hot Wheels thing.
This is just going to be, I'm pretty sure this is just going to be, like, Beach Buggy level. It's not going to be Turn 10 level or Playground Games level.
You know what this really, you know what this really means, though? It's just another deflection from Mousebot 2. The sons of bitches.
You'll survive.
Vector Unit, if you're listening, I'm on to you.
You're on my shit list, Vector Unit. No, we love Vector Unit. I even bought a shirt from Vector Unit.
Me, you, Matt from Vector Unit, 5 minutes in the ring. I'm calling you out.
All right, moving on. E3 confirmed a few more companies are going to be joining the good times with Square Enix, Sega, Bandai Namco, Gearbox, Verizon, Turtle Beach, and Xseed all joining the festivities. Konami will not be attending. So no pachinko games.
Damn it.
I was hoping for at least like a new Bomberman or something like that. I can get excited for some Bomberman.
They're doing a free-to-play version of Bomberman R, or Super Bomberman R.
Oh, is it like a Battle Royale? Like a 64 yeah. Battle Royale or something like that? Yeah, I will play the hell out of that once I can get a hold of it.
Yeah, I'm waiting to hear more information on that one.
Yeah, I am extra excited for E3 this year, and it might end up being disappointing, but after not getting it last year and how weird all that was... I don't care if it's digital. I don't care who's there or not there. Just give me some E3. I'm pumped.
Cole, I know you've been talking about how excited you are for E3 to be back.
Yeah, I desperately need some hype around some games and some world premiere trailers and stuff. So.
Xbox exclusive.
PlayStation. I can do without that one, but...
Something that might be revealed at E3, a lot of people are speculating on this one, if not sooner, Psychonauts 2 looks to be nearing release as a store page showed up on Xbox, and people are able to preload the game at 28 gig.
Wow.
So it looks to be right around the corner. It could be perfect for E3, and it's available right now. Moments.
Those are my favorite announcements.
Yeah, I love those moments. And it's on Game Pass, bitches.
Yeah, Psychonauts 2 is one that I kind of, just everything I've read and heard, seemed like it was going to be a 2021 release, barring anything insane happening to prevent it.
I think that's still multi-platform, though. I think that's still on Switch and PS4 as well.
Cool, more the merrier. Yeah. I don't care. I'll play it on Xbox, but play whatever the hell you want.
Yeah, Game Pass. Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance is getting a re-release, remaster, whatever you want to call it, for Xbox, Switch, and PlayStation. It releases this week. It releases tomorrow. The price is kind of steep, $30. It doesn't look like a $30 game, but I'm excited to see Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance back.
I know nothing about Baldur's Gate.
It's Diablo-like.
That explains why I know nothing about it.
Jacob, any memories for Baldur's Gate?
Nah, sorry.
Nothing, really?
Yeah, never played him.
I would have pegged you as a Baldur's Gate guy. What about you, Ryan?
I think you just would have pegged me.
Yeah. I would have pegged you like you were a Tyrannosaurus.
I walked into that one like you walked into that one.
I never played Baldur's Gate. It was just it just seems, I don't know, I could be incorrect because I've not looked at it deep enough, but it feels like one of those games where, like, if you didn't play it initially, it would be hard to get into now.
Probably, given it's like a 20-year-old game, something like that.
Yeah, like I look at it the same way I look at something like World of Warcraft. Like, I'm sure I would have fun, but man, I feel like I've missed 20 years of lore, and and then I'm asking questions like, what do I do? And like, the fan base is so intense now, they're like, you quit, nerd, get out of here, we don't want you. You're like, oh, okay,
sorry guys,
bye.
Thank you.
Last bit of news I have, and this basically only affects me, Chevelle Self-Destructor released for Rock Band as DLC this week, and I'm fucking thrilled.
I'm glad you are happy.
Yes, I've been requesting that song for months, so now that it's out, I can shut the fuck up about it.
God, I wish you would. Jesus.
Do you know how bad it has to be that Jacob and I can agree on something?
This whole time we've just been like, God, I wish there would be something Joe would shut the fuck... Oh, thank God, finally. Shut the fuck up.
I don't talk about Rock Band that much on the show.
Oh my God, shut up.
That's the news I have. Anyone else have any news they want to talk about?
There's a Mobile Division game coming.
Oh, I heard. That what, feels what did so they weird. Announce?
There's also a free-to-play game coming to console and PC. I don't know, I don't feel like it's going to be a bad thing, but I didn't see if there was a trailer or anything tied to it, because I didn't have time to look. But I feel like more Division is always a plus, but fuck, I hate mobile games, man. I don't want to play.
Have phones?
I don't, because I lost mine, remember? I still
haven't you found still haven't it. Found it? Oh, now it's gone for good.
If I need anything on a phone, I'm just like, hey, David, let me see your phone. And then I do what I need to do, and I'm like, okay, here, take this trash. I'm back to my computer.
Carnage is talking about Super Animal Royale was announced as coming to consoles, and it's going to be hitting Game Pass, where Game Pass members will be getting a Founders Pack.
Nice.
So that should be interesting. I know Carnage has been talking about that one a lot. Twin stick shooter battle royale, he says.
Nice. Good, then maybe he'll shut the fuck up about that.
Seriously, Carnage, shut the fuck up.
Every time, Carnage.
Jesus. Never.
The worst.
Like how the show is just like, we hope news happens so that people will shut the fuck up. Like, that's it. We want good gamer news so you'll shut your mouth.
Jacob, what kind of news do you have? Because I know you always have something that you won't shut the fuck up about.
Believe it or not, like, you actually covered almost everything.
Are you saying I'm good at my job?
No.
No, okay. No. Literally,
you missed the whole Division thing, so no.
Literally, no one has ever said that, Joe.
I know.
But, I pretty much only had two things. I mean, Riot announced updates to Valorant where it's going to be able to record, where they're going to take time to record what you're saying as you're playing, and they will ban you for, like, they're going to use some sort of analytics thing for, like, certain, you know, slurs and stuff like that. And pretty much they'll just outright ban you for racist, bigoted talk.
Good, fuck trash racists. Talk.
Yeah, so, I mean, hooray for that. And then the other only other thing really that I was surprised you didn't talk about is the implosion of a giant bomb.
What all happened there? Because I know a couple of people left earlier this year, right?
And no, then, they left like last week.
Well, I know I was going to say another group of people apparently left like today or tomorrow, something like that.
Tomorrow is like there's like four people that who were like founding members that tomorrow is like their last day.
Yeah.
And
is anything going on like that caused it? I mean, I've been burnt out by just, even if you love something, if you're there for too long, you want to go do something else for a while.
No, it's just, like, as far as I know, I mean, I don't listen to their podcasts or anything like that. I mean, I don't listen to our own podcast.
Who does?
true.
Somebody might.
Shirt's coming soon.
Bitches be busy. I'm getting to them. They're on that ever growing to-do list.
Oh, wait a second. They're going to be handmade by Cole?
They are.
Oh, she's going to spit her like something worse on mine. I'm going to order like a 3XL, and it's just going to be like somehow it's a like small, extra large, tall.
Then do a crop top. Like,
it's gonna be like a 5T. Like, I'll just be able to put my kid in it. But yeah, like the whole thing with Giant Bomb, it's just they're just saying like, oh well, a bunch of us are leaving, and the one guy who is like a founding member who's left is just like, well, we wish him well. Like,
I mean, what else are you gonna say? Really? You
know? Yeah, and it's just I mean, like the only reason why I even know anything about Giant Bomb is that like occasionally I've had to look up like company information. And like they'll have a page for like some random Japanese company, and my buddy Sang like updates like a bunch of shit with their fighting game related stuff, like, but that's like all I know about the site. I don't follow any of their shit, but it was enough to get reported on like multiple gaming sites, but like nobody's saying what the hell's happening behind the scenes.
Yeah, so. I mean people can choose to do whatever they want. It's just, it's weird that like three of them would leave at once. Not that people are leaving, but that they all kind of went, okay, the same day, we're out.
Yeah, I don't know if like maybe they're getting bought out or something like that or whatever.
Well, but, look for Humongous Dynamite to start up in a couple of weeks.
That was my pro wrestling name, by the way.
I found my link with more information about the Division free-to-play game that's coming. It'll be called Division Heartland, and you will not need experience in the previous two games because it'll be in a new setting with a new perspective. It's being made by Red Storm, who did a lot of the DLC for the first Division. And they're also making a Division film for Netflix that will star Jessica Chastain and Jake Gyllenhaal.
Hmm. I thought they announced that like a little bit ago, though, didn't they?
You would know, Jacob. They said if anyone knows, thought, it like, would be you.
No, yeah, know, they announced that they were going to do a film. I don't think they had said it was going to be with Netflix, or maybe I just missed that part. But that
I had read about Jake Gyllenhaal being in it, but that's all I knew.
Rawson Marshall Thurber will be the director.
I don't know who that is.
All right, well, I guess that's all the news to tackle.
I do have a small bit of news, actually. God. That just popped
I literally across. Asked you for news.
No, do you it have? It just popped, you know, it's just breaking news right off, just popped on my desk.
Jacob is leaving Giant Bomb as well. He is. He's awesome.
And he has also imploded.
Breaking news. I have to go to the bathroom. So IGN noticed a Microsoft job listing for Turn 10 Studios, who develops Forza. Mm-hmm. So apparently the next Fable game is actually going to be done on the Forza engine.
Oh, I did see that.
Yeah. That did not just pop up, you liar.
Oh, fuck you. Fuck you. It came in like... And the news got posted yesterday at 7:30 p.m. All right, you know what? Whatever. I didn't get a chance to read anything today.
So aggressive.
He doesn't get a chance to read anything ever because he can't read.
Yeah, Jacob, you seem a little stressed. Maybe just sit down, find yourself your favorite pterodactyl novel, and just.
Just relax. I'm glad we found a way to bring it back to dinosaur erotica for the end.
I will always find a way.
Oh my lord, Ryan! Any news you want to talk about?
No, just come see me on tour. That's the biggest news. If anyone wants to support me buying more Switches, come to a show, buy some tickets, buy some merch. I guess I'm in Albany this week. A week off after that, then the 20th to the 22nd, I'm in Boston at the Hideout Comedy Club. The 28th and the 29th, I am in Des Moines at the Funny Bone. June 3rd through 6th, I am at House of Comedy at the Mall of America in Minneapolis. And then the 12th and 13th of June, I am at Bananas in Hasbrook Heights, New Jersey. So ooh, buy a ticket, buy a shirt, bring me another Switch that you think I might not have. And yeah, let's have a good time. It's nice that things are starting to get there.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely nice to see some normalcy returning. I know... AEW said that they're going to be doing their pay-per-view at 100% capacity, which worries me.
Yeah, I don't think we're there yet, but I'm in the middle is somewhere where I feel comfortable. There's a reason I haven't been performing in Florida yet, because I don't feel comfortable doing 100%, but hopefully it's fine. Hopefully it ends up okay.
Yeah. Well, Ryan, thank you so much for coming to join us. It is always a pleasure having you on the show chatting with us. Pimp yourself out. Where can people keep up to date with your tour dates and everything else? How do people stay in touch with you?
So at CrippleThreat8 on all the things, and then CrippleThreat.com is the website that'll have the calendar and such. Couple things I have in the works now. I can't really talk about them yet because they're still pending, but hopefully I'm going to have some very cool news soon. And the next time you see me or hear me on here, I will have beaten RBI Baseball 18, and Cole will give us a 20-minute presentation
dissertation on dinosaur. Cole, are you ready for that?
Yes.
Oh, man. Well, Ryan, we will let you get going. Thank you so much for joining us. We have reviews that we have to take care of, so we will let you go, and you enjoy the rest of your night.
I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
All right. Later, man.
See ya.
All right. So is everyone ready for reviews?
Yep.
You're really selling me on that.
Yep.
Sorry, I had to blow my nose, so I turned my mic off.
Helpful. Are you ready for reviews?
No.
Tough shit. First game to talk about tonight. Once again, we are going to cover Near Replicant version 1.22474487139... code provided for this review by Square Enix, developed by Toylogic, published by Square Enix, released April 23rd on Xbox, PS4, PC for $59.99. The young kind man sets out with Grimoire Vice and a strange talking book to search for the sealed verses in order to save his sister Yona, who fell terminally ill to the Black Scrawl. Cole, how much further did you get in the game, and did shiny object syndrome prevent you from beating it?
Well, I made progress, but I learned a thing, and it became a problem, because I learned that the farming mechanic that I was very into is flying on real time, and I ain't got time for that kind of shiny object. I got shit to do. I have like 7 jobs now, and so I can't be sitting there literally watching wheat grow. on the plus side, that means that I was able to just like take off and do more as far as like make progress in the story goes. The sad part is that I still feel like I don't have any fucking idea what was happening. I don't know how I've managed to play both Nier Replicant and Nier Automata and still look at it and go, I have no idea what this story is. I went to a motherfucking wiki to try to understand, and all it did was tell me that there were multiple endings that made even less sense.
Yeah.
I'm so confused. I was relieved that there weren't 26 endings to read through, like Automata had. There's only 5. A, B, C, D, E. Yeah, 5. I had to double check that. After I said it, I was like, wait, is that right? Yeah, I think there's 5. I don't have time to play through every single one of these endings. I feel a little bad about it because I feel like each one gives you a different perspective on the game. But I just had to read through them because I was like, there's no way I can do all that. And even with each one offering a different perspective, they still don't come together to feel cohesive to me. I don't get this game. I think what I enjoyed the most about it was just that I could run around and smash things. And that made me happy. But when it came to actually boiling it down, I didn't get it. And I feel bad for it. Like, I just don't...
I can't hold that against you because the Nier games, as well as the Drakengard series, are very much like you either get it or you don't. And if you don't get it, you're not going to get it.
I think my problem is that I look at it with a whole lot of why, and there's not enough justification for why things happen in the story. Like, you have to really delve into, I had to go to the fucking wiki just to get like a basic understanding of what I had already done, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't like when stories do that, but clearly that's just a me thing because Nier is like fucking crazy popular despite this. So maybe I'm just asking for something that the story isn't trying to give me.
Yeah.
That's okay. It happens. I don't in any way want to say that it's like a bad game because I didn't get the concept. It's just that it just didn't click. and that's fine. I can still just have plenty of fun running around and fishing. I can still just have plenty of fun. I spent a lot of time fishing when I realized that that farming was going to take for fucking ever.
Then you switched your addiction from farming to fishing.
Yes, and then I just spent a whole lot of time yelling at rusty buckets. Why do I keep getting so many rusty buckets?
What are we going to do with you?
But, you know, I mean, it's... I have such a weird, I don't know, weird feeling about the game because story-wise, I didn't enjoy the story, right?
Yeah.
And I didn't feel like it had any moment that helped me. Like, one of my favorite moments in video games ever is in Nier Automata. And even though I had that same whole, like, I don't love this story, I had that one moment I really attached to. And if you haven't ever seen the robots perform Romeo and Juliet, that's what I'm talking about. even though I didn't enjoy the story as a whole, I had that one moment in the game that really hooked me and I loved it. And I kept waiting for that moment in Replicant, and it just wasn't there. But it's not, again, it's not that it's a bad game, it's just not a cult game, and that's okay. That's okay.
And you got to remember, Replicant came first.
Came first.
So people are like, oh, it's not as polished as Automata. No shit. Well,
obviously. I think they did a good job as far as like our remaster goes. I've looked at pictures and stuff. I never played the original. I'm completely new to the story. And I think that may be a little more of why it's just not getting me as much is because I'm just like, it's an old game and I don't understand. I've played better because it's I've played newer, you know, and the way we tell stories in games and the way games are presented has changed, and I've just accepted that that's the way games should be. And when I play an older one, I kind of hitch on it, and it happens. I'm odd and I know that, but I don't want to sit and, like, you know, shit on the game like it's and say it's bad or anything like that, because it's not. I can see what's there, and I can appreciate that it's for somebody.
It's just not you.
It's just not me, and I can understand why people who have enjoyed it and why it has the fan base it has. I still think the fan service shit is trash. And you know, at least there's the DLC that lets you cover up Kaine, but
or take away more.
Or take away more, if that's what you know, here for. She's 17. I'm just going to remind everybody of that. But, you know, like, it's good gameplay. It's enthralling gameplay. It kept me coming back to it, and that says a lot. I think part of it was because Joe was like, I'm going to force her to come back to it by making her drag her review on it for 2 weeks. But even without that, I probably would have at least come back to it for the sake to see how my wheat farm was doing.
Well, as it stands, it's $60. What do you think of it?
I think if you are a fan of Nier, then it's a buy it. You're going to want to revisit that world and see it in its 4K remastered glory, right? Because it looks great for what it is. But I think if you're more like me and you're not already in that, it's definitely going to fall more to the try it side of the things. Just because it doesn't really pull you in if you're new.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like, it feels like a split. It just depends on what type of fan base you fall into. I mean, and I wouldn't even say like, oh, if you're like me and you haven't played it, it's not going to interest you at all. No, I think there's definitely people who are new to Nier who would definitely enjoy it.
Oh yeah.
But, you know, maybe I wasn't that person, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally understand. Like I said, it's one of those series that you get it or you don't.
Mm-hmm. I will say, I loved Kaine as a character. Like, her writing and her story arc and everything, super awesome. Just put some clothes on her. Fuck off.
If it helps in Nier Gestalt, the version that was on 360, she was age 23. Same game, same character model.
Although I thought the wiki said 20. Just a different number.
Oh, it might have been 20. I thought it was 23.
The wiki said 20. See,
same character model, same everything. It's just a different number. So
yeah. So eh, but
anyway,
it was still uncomfortable for my standing. I know everybody else is like, yay, boobies, you know,
boobies and butts. Anyway, next game to talk about is called Second Extinction, developed and published by Systemic Reaction. It released April 28th on Xbox Game Preview for $24.99. In Second Extinction, you take on hordes of mutated dinosaurs with up to two friends. Solo players, beware. Second Extinction is designed with squads in mind. Only the strong will survive. Oh, I know you could squad up with friends, so what'd you think of Second Extinction?
I played it with friends because playing it alone is just asking to get your ass fucking handed to you. Even playing Second Extinction with friends, your ass is gonna get fucking handed to you. So if you're not familiar, Second Extinction, there's been an event where humans can no longer populate Earth. There are mutant dinos ravaging the shit out of everything. I don't know what we did or how we got to that point. I forgot the story because all I cared about was shooting dinos in the face. And so I was like, yes, give me the guns. Let me go kill things. Let's go. And it did not disappoint as far as that goes. You don't need to give a fuck about why you're down there shooting dinos. You just shoot the dinos. Jabber, I can never say Jabber's name. Is it Jabber's? Havors? I don't know. J-A-V. are there aliens? No, you're the alien. There's fucking dinosaurs. it's a fucking dinosaur shooter, and dinosaurs are wonderful, and I love them, and I'm going to be brutally honest. I spent maybe 4 hours the first night I played, right?
Okay.
I woke up the next morning and I sent a text to Studa and I said, are we playing dinosaur shooting today? Just like that. That's what I wanted to say. Are we playing dinosaur shooting today? Because that was all I wanted to fucking do, was go back and shoot more dinosaurs. The gameplay is very much like Left 4 Dead. It's meant to play with squads. You have a team of three, though, not four. Feels a little weird that it's a team of three.
Especially because there's four characters in the game.
Yeah, a fourth person definitely would make things easier. when you load in, you have the option. You can do free roam. You can just drop onto the planet on the map, run around, and do whatever events pop up around you. Fucking wonderful. You can also do the campaign, which is broken down very Left 4 Dead-ish. You get to choose which campaign mission you're going to do, where you're going to start at, and go from there. Even when you're doing the campaign, though, you can run into different events and trigger them and decide whether or not to do them as well. It'll tell you that they are optional. So, you know, you're not forced into it. If you don't give a fuck about collecting all the supply crates, you don't have to do that. You can just do the mission itself.
Why wouldn't you collect all the crates?
Why wouldn't you? Seriously. You get a score for how much you do in a mission, and you also get a star rating. However, here's my biggest beef. Now, it's game preview, so I'm not holding it against it too hard, but the difficulty settings, the lowest one is normal. There is no. If you are not good at shooting things in their weak points, you are going to get fucked.
So you're telling me I shouldn't
play. I have not played with you for a reason.
Okay, fair. Very fair.
I don't want to be cruel, but I haven't played not with you cruel. For a reason.
It's fair. I accept it.
It's because I actually wanted to succeed at killing a T-Rex.
Hey, I want to succeed too.
Yeah, but without three people, it ain't happening. Well, I don't know. I might be upgraded enough to be able to get you through. I don't know. I can. My shotgun's pretty good because it's doing full critical hits. But that is another element of it, though, is that you do level up and you do unlock additional. You do unlock additional perks, and you get to modify your weapons so you can put more. Emphasis, for example, my shotgun just does every shot's a critical hit, right? Wow. And I just bomb it, and I'm like, that T-Rex's weak point on its neck glowing blue, every shot's a critical hit, and I can drop one We were trying to get the achievement for dropping a pod on the T-Rex, and I accidentally hit it too many times and killed it without triggering the weak phase because my shotgun was too strong. And I was like, son of a bitch.
You break everything, don't you?
At least this time I broke it by being overpowered. Now, if you want to talk actual breakage, the game is in game preview.
Yeah.
We were playing it. I played it both on my PC and on the Xbox. If you are playing on the same platform, for example, when Stude and I were both on PCs, things went well. Lightspeed and I were both on Xbox, things went well. But if Stude and I were on PC and Lightspeed was on Xbox, Lightspeed was getting disconnected every motherfucking time.
So crossplay needs some work.
So it's not as flawless. It does work. It's just not as flawless as it could be. I will also say I played one time with Shiz and Lightspeed. They were on both on the Xbox and I was on the PC because I was
fucking
across the room.
No time for games. Just dropped the sub for 35th month. I didn't know we were doing this shit that long. Holy hell.
Yeah,
thank you so much, No Time. 35 months, 2 month streak. I wonder if the streak got messed up for something. I don't know. But damn, 35 months. Thank you so much. Very much appreciate it.
So are we on the hook for like 3 more years now?
Yeah. So Second Extinction.
So yeah.
Game preview. It's $25. Do you think this is...
I do want to point out, we had some actual issues, not just with crossplay though. Like, there are some known issues of, hey, this particular mission will break. We played through a whole ass mission, and because Lightspeed had got kicked out before we even started it and joined back in on us, the final door glitched and we weren't able to complete the mission. We got locked into the area and a whole hour and a half's worth of progress was gone. So we got no loot or anything. We didn't get to do any upgrades for the mission. Lightspeed said, yeah, the mine mission is glitched as well. So they know those are glitches. They're working on them. So there's that, at least. It's not like, oh, it's in the air, it'll never get fixed. No, they know it's game preview. They're working on it. So I'm not inclined to hold those against it. Just something that you need to look up and be aware of so that you try to avoid the issue. So you don't spend an hour and a half and then get to a door that won't open.
Well, I was gonna say before you told me about issues, $25. It is in-game preview. Is this something people should be investing in now? Do you know if the price is gonna be going up?
I have no idea. I would like to see more missions added to it if they're gonna raise the price, or the map expanded made bigger. I'd be willing to pay a higher price if they did all that. But where it's at for $25, I think you're going to get your money's worth as it is right now without even taking into fact that it's game preview and there's still so much more they could do.
Cool. So,
yeah.
Sounds good, except for me, because I suck at shooters.
I'm sorry.
I still want to try it, though. So one of these days we'll have to try
it. Give me about another week to get so OP that I can just carry you, okay?
Sounds good.
We'll get there.
Sounds good. Next game to talk about is called Skate City, developed by Agents and Room 8, published by Snowman, released May 6th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and PC for $14.99. Skate the streets of real-world iconic destinations from around the globe. Master combos of flip tricks, manuals, and grinds to set high scores in challenge mode, or ride at your own pace with endless skate. Head over to the skate shop to customize your skater and unlock everything else available. Jacob, tell us about your time with Skate City.
So, pretty much, it is a 2D skating game. I believe the only other game that's kind of like this I've played. You had recommended it like a couple years ago. It was like Ollie Ollie or something like that. And I enjoyed this one way more. So pretty much you just start off with one city. I want to say it's LA, which is really like, it's ridiculous because it's just like, I should be able to remember the three cities. It's LA, Oslo, and I think it's Barcelona. But the thing, we'll get to the you know, the how similar all the
cities
look.
You're doing good. You're doing good, Jacob.
I know. I'm doing great.
Paul, you want to chime in? You want to make fun of him?
He's not doing great.
thank you, Cole.
You're welcome.
All right. So pretty much, the game just, you know, it gives you the basic pointers, like this is how you do an ollie. This is, you know, how you do this other kind of kickflip. This is how you grind on stuff. And then it just dumps you in an endless mode for LA. At first I was just like, is this all that there is to the game? Because the game, when you go into the menus, like if you look down, like challenges are present, but like initially when you're first playing, it just kind of dumps you in LA and is just kind of like, all right, well, here's like an endless sidewalk for you to, you know, do ollies over tipped over garbage cans and grind down staircases and stuff like that. And so I played on the endless mode more than I'd like to admit, thinking that this was like this was going to be the game. And you know, I wasn't sure how the heck I was supposed to unlock the other cities, because you earn currency by doing tricks and doing goals. And I'm just like, I'm just sitting there like, oh, holy crap, this game is like unattainable. Like, how the heck am I supposed to review this? And then I realize, through the game's menus that, oh crap, there are challenges. And the, essentially the challenges are really just the game holding your hand and making sure that you're able to do the tricks and stuff like that. Shut up. All right. So like, I'm going to be honest. The game's like initial menus are not exactly the best. Like it wasn't particularly intuitive. Like it didn't like pop out like, this is where you go to do this. This is where you do this. It all, they're bland menus and they just like nothing pops. And it's just, so anyways, like you do the challenges, you get the coins, you unlock the other cities, you can unlock other moves that you can do, which of course will, you know, will give you new challenges. Or at least like, you know, make it easier for you to do the other challenges. And then there's three cities that you get to unlock, and you could go through the endless mode. The cities are, I don't know. I mean, it's not like it's Tony Hawk where you like you can go and just be like, oh yeah, I prefer this one level over the others. Like they all pretty much just run like together. It's, I mean, the word bland seems overly harsh, but I'd almost say homogenized, where it's just like, yeah, it's a city background. I mean, if it weren't for the fact that it says what city it's supposed to be, like it's one of those like this, like, could be,
you wouldn't generic know what it is.
Yeah, you don't. It's generic city one, it's generic city two, and the map only has three things, and I don't know if I just didn't get far enough in the game. Like maybe something unlocks after you do X amount of challenges or something like that. But Rio de Janeiro is listed on the map, so I don't know if they're planning future DLC or, you know, or if it's just like some secret unlock or something like that. I don't know. The gameplay is fine. It's very chill.
It's very, you know, simplistic, which I liked. All you do is basically just flip a direction on the analog stick and hit the A button.
Sticks.
Yeah.
But there's some tricks that require the right stick as opposed to the left stick, though. Well, yeah. I mean, you said, okay.
I didn't pluralize sticks. You can use either the right or a left stick. Some have a combination. It's easy to pick up. But it seems like it's one of those games that might be a little more difficult to master, at least for me.
I don't know. I mean, like, a lot of the challenges, like, it only took me, like, you know, maybe three tries to get through them. And most of the time, it's just like, I mean, technically,
well, the challenges aren't supremely difficult.
No, because it's just making you, like, it's making sure you understand how to do everything in the game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I did appreciate that factor in it, where it wasn't like stuff that was like super ridiculous and unattainable. But I mean, it is a chill game. The soundtrack isn't like, you know,
it's not Tony Hawk
punk. Right. It's not Tony Hawk. It's lo-fi beats. It's a good way to pass like 5 or 10 minutes. I don't know if this was a mobile game beforehand, but it kind of has that vibe to it.
Well, Snowman, they also published the Alto Collection, which was that downhill.
All right, well, that makes tons more sense then, because I was actually about to be like, you know, if I had to, I was actually about to say, like, you know, for like a boarding game that, like, you know, I play when I just want to chill out for like 15, 20 minutes or something like that, I would actually choose the Alto Collection over this one. So that's actually kind of funny that they're made by the same people.
Well, this is developed by different people. It's published by the same company.
Okay. Yeah. All right, I get you then. All right. But, yeah, I mean, like, it's not bad. It didn't blow me away, though. I enjoyed it for what it was. I do appreciate the simplistic controls, but, you know, the variety in the cities, just, there really is none. And, yeah, I mean, it's just, it's a fun, like, way to spend, like, 10, 15 minutes at a clip. But it's not something I could, like, get lost in for, like, 4 or 5 hours or something like that.
No. Well, it's something that I can pick up and enjoy for a good hour or two. I haven't beaten any of, like, the cities. I haven't completed any of the cities yet, but I'm still having fun going through it and wrecking. The wrecking and falling in this game is so funny to see the body just fall and roll around. I love good physics.
Yeah, I mean, I as I said, I thought it was decent for what it is. I mean, it's not something that I'm immediately like, oh, you got to like rush out and play this. But, I mean, how much does this thing cost?
$15. So what is your verdict?
I mean, there's lots of worse games you could spend $15 on. It's not like a killer app, and it's not like an immediate rush, but I dug it. If you're looking for something along the lines of the Alto Collection, except like, you know, with a skateboard, you know, I mean, this is a pretty decent game. I mean, it's not going to set the skating world on fire, but you know, I had fun with it for what it was. So
yeah, I could roll with a try on it. It's fun, it's simple to pick up and enjoy. It doesn't require a huge time commitment. It's a good casual game, and every so often you need a good casual palate cleanser.
Yeah, and as I said, I mean, Rio is on the map, so either there's a secret, you know, hidden level for doing everything, or there's probably DLC, because it's the only other city that's marked on the map. So
we'll find out in due time. But yep. Next game to talk about is called War Dogs Red's Return, developed by Mito Games, published by Cubite Interactive, released April 29th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and PC for $3.99. Fight gangs and bring order back to the city in this retro-style beat-em-up game. Jacob, tell us about your time with War Dogs Red's Return.
So this is an interesting title. It's set in, you know, some sort of, like, I mean, it acts like it's post-apocalyptic, but at the same time, society seems to still be there enough that there's still like regular newscasts and stuff like that. But it's like everyone to survive in the post-apocalypse, they've combined their DNA with like dogs, and it's so everyone looks like a bunch of anthropomorphic dogs, like Road Rovers, if you remember that cartoon show from way back. And it's just like you're playing this guy who used to be in a gang, but he's kind of reformed, like he's kind of reformed but kind of not. He still gets into trouble, and now he's out to save the city, and you know, all the standard beat 'em up storyline stuff. And it's just, you know, it's standard beat 'em up. Like, you move through a level, everything's in an urban environment. You're beating up guys, like they have health meters, there's weapons you can pick up, you know, and you know, eventually you face off against the boss. The gameplay, it's not solid. I did have some issues with clipping, like going right through some of the enemies, but on the plus side, the enemies would sometimes go through me, so not everything would connect.
I was going to say, detection in this game is a bit wonky.
It's spotty, which thankfully happened quite a bit during the first boss battle. Because there was a moment I thought I was going to get wrecked and have a game over, and luckily his attack went right through me for whatever reason. And I was able to turn around and kick the crap out of him and win. But, there's that, but then, unlike other beat-em-ups, I've played other ones that do this, but not many. So there's upgrades, for your body that you could buy, that will do various stuff. Like you could take, it increases your health bar, or you could take more hits, or like, you have extra punching power, your defense goes up, all that kind of stuff. And it's pretty much, you just find these, I think they call them crystals.
Or something like that.
Yeah, and it's just like you have to figure out how it's going to work out in your like little orb thing. I don't know. It's like an octagon shape.
A cube, six sides.
Yeah. And so it's just like, you have to figure out and like, figure out which build works best for you, and you go through there, and of course you can replay the levels if you need to, just so you could like build up your guy. It's okay. Like
this game is like the epitome of quote okay. Like this is not a good game, but you could tell like a lot of heart went into it. Like they tried. I'm going to guess this is an early developer, like one of their first projects. If this is something from a team that's been around for 20 years, I would be concerned. It seems like very much an early development project. The visuals, they look okay, but they look off. The hitting is okay, but it feels off. Like the upgrade system is okay, but it feels a little off. Like the whole game is okay. It just feels a bit off, but it's $4.
Right. It's like that. It kind of feels like that gem that you would find in like the $5 bin at Circuit City, that like, that was filled with like tons of like Drake of the 99 Dragons and
Drake and Josh.
it's stuff like that. And then meanwhile, you pull this out and you're just like, what the fuck? It looks great for it looks fine for $5. I'll take it home. And you're like, holy shit. Like for $5, this was pretty damn good. This was an excellent investment. It really catches you off guard. Like you would have been pissed if you had paid 30 or more for it, but for $5, this will get you through it. Like, for $4, it's an excellent beat 'em up for $4. If you're going to put it up against stuff like Streets of Rage, Final Fight, all that other kind of stuff,
it pales in comparison to that. Arnold says it in chat. Fuck it, why not? That's what that rating is for on this show. Fuck it, why not? This game is like the epitome of fuck it, why not? It's $4. It's a fairly easy 1,000 if you're grinding through it and using your abilities enough. Or if you like playing it on hard mode. I don't care about hard mode, so I'm not going to get the 1,000. But it's not a huge winner, but it's $4.
It's $4. It's $4, and we've all spent worse on more than that. Like, and if you're looking for a decent beat 'em up to, while you're waiting for, I think there's a Ninja Turtles title that's coming out, like a remastered version of it. Like, if you're if you need a beat 'em up, but like you're waiting for that to come out, hell, just buy this. Like, it's a solid $4 game.
No. All right. Well, Jacob, that's it for you. We'll let you get going.
Woo!
Unless you want to stick around.
No, I have to do tweets and read my pterodactyl erotica at the same time.
So do your tweets and get back in your cage.
All right.
Do you have any final words?
Aren't we supposed to review Mortal
Kombat? Oh yeah, you want to talk about Mortal Kombat? Okay.
Did you watch it yet?
Yes, I did.
Oh, I'm gonna take my headphones off. I didn't get a chance to watch it.
Thank God. It's guaranteed we won't hear Cole.
Okay, well, you want to talk about Mortal Kombat. Raider Biz is asking, no spoilers, so a spoiler-free review of the movie.
Okay. All right. Wait, so are we allowed to give, like, general synopsis of it, or just we just don't ruin the ending? Or, like...
Don't give away any major plot points.
Okay. Well, I mean, are we allowed to talk about how everyone's determined to fight in Mortal Kombat? Like, is that okay?
I guess so.
Okay. All right.
That's explained kind of near the beginning.
Well, yeah, I know, but it's not explained in, I don't think it's explained in the trailer though. So I don't, whatever. All right. So this is a reboot of, the Mortal Kombat movie franchise, which has pretty much languished, since 1998-ish, I mean, with the cancellation of the Mortal Kombat Conquest TV show, which was by Threshold. And of course, there's been like numerous start stops over like the last couple of decades to get the movie series going. Finally, we have this. So it's a reboot of it, and it is a different retelling of the Mortal Kombat story than what we're used to. That's fine. If you've played Mortal Kombat 11, you know that they fucked over the timeline so badly that, like, Mortal Kombat now has more retcons and reintroductions than Doctor, like, and more timelines than Doctor Who has at this point. Hopefully you've all played Mortal Kombat 11. Anyway, so with this, we're introduced to Cole Young, who is a completely new character. Who is an MMA fighter, and we find out that, you know, he's suddenly chosen to be, you know, to enter into this Mortal Kombat tournament. Forewarning with all of this, I was supremely above the influence when I watched this movie. So my review may be a tad spotty in terms of it. Whatever, you could fill in the gaps for me on this, Joe. So anyway, so he gets introduced to a bunch of other fighters, including Sonya Blade, Kano, Jax, Liu Kang, Kung Lao, and like we see other Mortal Kombat characters in here. We see Melina, Natara, which, you know, I mean, it was nice that they dragged in somebody like that far into the Mortal Kombat story, like into this.
What pancakes?
Cabal. We see him too. And of course, the main thing that you're all waiting for is Scorpion and Sub-Zero. You know, which of course the trailers show that they fight. Which of course is really what we're there for. So without going too much into the plot, pretty much, you know, there's all these warriors that have this mark of the Mortal Kombat Dragon. And you get it one way or another, and Shang Tsung decides that he is going to like disrupt the tournament because that's what he does. And so, of course, it's up to the Earthrealm fighters to defeat or, you know, at least delay this. And that's pretty much it. Was that a sufficiently good plot overview without spoiling anything?
Yeah, for the most part. Okay. I gotta say, the movie was perfect for what it wanted to be.
Honestly, this is excellent. Leave your brain at the door entertainment. Like, I have a few friends who watched it and they bitched about, like there wasn't any character development and like, you know, the plot kind of sucked. And I was just like, sit the fuck down. Like, who the hell watches a Mortal Kombat movie for the plot and the character development? Literally no one. No one watches it for that. You are there to watch people get torn apart, watch kick-ass fights. Like, nobody.
And the violence, it brought the violence.
I will say this, it is not as amped up as the recent Mortal Kombat games, but it was legions above, you know, the two movies that we got in the 90s. Yeah,
the two PG-13 movies we got. This is R-rated. Right. It wears its R-rating proudly.
Yes,
it is. I liked it. I thought it was
good. It was wonderfully gory. Yeah. The fights all kick ass. you know, and it's nice to see, you know, some of the different characters. The guy who plays Kano steals the entire movie.
Yeah.
And to the point where I would actually be okay with seeing a Kano like spinoff if they ever wanted to do that.
Yeah, my only real gripe with the movie is I did not like Raiden.
He was barely in it.
I thought he was a terrible actor.
I have heard that too, and I have heard, I have read some people saying that he feels like an Asian stereotype in it. I don't really recall that, but I also don't really recall him being in the movie much. No, so
well, he is there. He shows up enough, and he's just not a good actor.
But I mean, otherwise, I thought that they did. I thought they did fine service to the other characters that were in there. I mean, it was nice that Cabal actually got screen time this time. Again, as I said, they introduced Natara, who you know was never in any of the movies. Melina got actual, you know, decent screen time. We even have somebody from Reptiles. And that's kind of weird because it's just like, well, I can't really go into that without really spoiling anything, I guess. Well,
as it stands, is it a movie worth checking out?
Is it worth checking out? Absolutely. If you are above the influence when you watch it, it is a good time. It is a solid good time. I was thrilled with what I got to watch. I was fully entertained the whole entire time. Is it great? Is it great video game cinema?
No.
In terms of the action, yes. In terms of overall, no. I would actually still say that the original Mortal Kombat is the better film. However,
disagree.
Well, hold on, because I will also say this about the original Mortal Kombat, because everyone like is just like, oh well, you know, it was just so good, and like all this other, like, you know, it just like it had a good plot, it had this, blah blah blah. Like, all right, first off, the fights were PG-13. Because it had to be. It was 1995. The cast was great, which that movie does have over the 2021 one. But the plot, come the fuck on. The original Mortal Kombat movie from 95 is just Enter the Dragon with some mystical shit thrown in. Like, it's easy to be the good movie when you steal another movie's plot. Like,
Well, says say what you want about how cheesy it is, but Double Dragon has always been one of my favorites. DOA is one of my favorites.
DOA is absolutely amazing. I love that movie. I've watched it so many damn times. I think I actually would say DOA or Silent Hill, or maybe Resident Evil Apocalypse are my favorite video game movies. Although I will say this, Wing Commander holds a very special place in my heart. I really do love that film enough that I've paid over $100 for an autographed poster of signed by Freddie Prinze Jr.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Fuck off! I am so
everything
stoked
about for, Jacob's a problem.
I am so stoked for that poster to come in, and it is going to be framed, and it is going to be wonderful, and you all can be jealous.
All right, so that's anyway. It for you, Jacob.
So, going back to what I was saying, yes, I highly recommend checking out the Mortal Kombat film. It really seems like they are gearing up for a sequel, at the very least.
We moved past the don't...
Shut up.
We told people that they could come back to chat. Stop talking about Mortal Kombat now. We said that they could come back. They're back. Cole's back.
There is one other thing I have to say about
it. God damn it.
No, because it's not... No, because it's Mortal Kombat, so it's not a spoiler, because everyone dies and everyone comes back. They come back a million times in the plots of video games, whatever. The guy, I forget which one of the actors, I don't remember if it was the guy who plays Scorpion or Sub-Zero, but one of them is signed for four films. Four films beyond the original, before this Mortal Kombat movie. So they are planning for more. So,
okay, hooray. Well... Now you're done.
Now I'm done.
Do you have any final words? Because we have to move on. This has been a long show. We still have reviews to go. So do you have any final words?
Nah, I'll let you go.
Okay. Next game to talk about tonight is called The Colonists, developed by Code by Fire and Auroch Digital, published by Auroch Digital, released May 4th on Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $23.99. Help these cute robots build their dream settlement. Each bot has a job to fulfill, from harvesting crops and fishing at the lake, to transporting resources and discovering distant lands. You'll advance through three different ages as you build infrastructure for your colony by constructing road, boat, and train transport systems. Help them work together to achieve automated harmony. Cole, this sounds like a Cole game.
I spent a lot of time playing The Colonists.
I can tell.
In fact, I was flared up really bad on Wednesday, and I just spent all day Wednesday laying on the couch with my feet up and a heated blanket thrown over me, playing The Colonists. And I was happy as a pig in shit. That's how I enjoy playing the game. It's the summary is pretty much dead on the nose. It's just, you have little robots, shit has happened, they are now your stand-ins for humans. They're adorable. I don't know who the fuck is making them. There's a little bit of uncomfortableness around the existence of the robots. For example, you have to build farms for them. They need food. I don't know how they're eating or what's going. Like, they're, so many
what,
of the
what
things
do they eat? They're robots.
They eat vegetables. You have to farm sheep and vegetables and fish. And why? That's how you get the energy. So you build the little house, and you build the little vegetable farm, and you build a little fishing pier, and you build a little well, and one little robot will take the water from the well to the little robot house, and another one will take some fish or some vegetables, whichever one you have, or some meat, and then they turn that into little barrels of energy. And then they need those little barrels of energy to take to the other places, like to the logger's hut or to the forestry hut or to the, lost my train of thought of what it is, to the mines, you know, so that they can collect stone. Then you'll need to have workshops so that they can progress and learn how to make more advanced technology. I find it really odd that you have to have them learn how to do the basics, like make a train, when they come down in a big giant ass rocket ship. Like, how have they mastered space and being robots? But they don't know how to build a train already? There's some weirdness, and I don't quite understand, and it doesn't even try to get you through it. It's just like, this is the way it is. Good luck. Much like my complaint with Second Extinction not having an easy mode, there isn't an easy mode in The Colonists either. In theory, that should not bother me, okay? I play a lot of these strategy games. These are probably one of my top five types of games, right? Like, you go, do you want to shoot dinosaurs? I'm like, fuck yes. You're like, do you want to build a little town for little robots that kind of look like ducks? And I'm like, absolutely, fuck yes. They're on the same par of fuck yes. And yet, the second mission, which is still technically the tutorial, okay? The second mission was so hard, it took me 7 attempts to do it, and I still didn't get the expert time.
Jeez.
I don't understand why. I don't know who the fuck they were timing. Like, somebody was able to get the monument in 9 months. That's the standard, is to get to building a small monument in 9 months. The longest it should take you is 4 years. It took me 2 years and 1 month. I think the biggest issue I have is that the tutorial for the game, on top of not having an easier difficulty with more forgiving times, the tutorial for the game itself doesn't tell you how to identify or create certain types of resources. I was on my 5th attempt before I discovered that the map I was on didn't even have clay, and I was trying to find clay. Like, there just wasn't any on that map. And I didn't know. because it never said, here's how you can go through and narrow down the resources to see what's on your map. It just kept saying, check your map. And I'm like, okay, but I don't know what I'm looking for, you know? A little more hand-holding. You can play in free roam or free play if you want to, sandbox mode. I would recommend fuck around in sandbox before you even try to do the campaign. Usually in a strategy simulator like this, my concept is the campaign prepares you to play it on your own and just wreak havoc, right?
Yeah.
Whereas I don't feel that way about the colonists. I feel like the more I tried to get through the campaign, the more it made me feel like a fucking idiot.
Wow.
And that kind of shouldn't happen for somebody who loves playing these games and knows what they're doing, right?
Yeah.
I play way too many of these to feel that way about it. So I did eventually just have to throw my hands up and go into sandbox and let things fuck up until I could learn to tell where things were on the map, where things were in the guides, and actually manage my way around the system that I was trying to strategize and simulate. Once I got the hang of most things, hey, I had trains and I was just going, and I loved the concept. I love the little robots. When you build the roads, they have little nodes on the road, and the robots will move from node to node. So it just makes like a little train, and you can watch your supplies just being passed down the road. It's so adorable and so fun, but man, it really makes you work for that payoff, and it's just a little too much work. I would have liked a little more of a let me relax and learn to play kind of atmosphere.
Yeah.
That said, once I got it, I fucking loved it. And I spent so much time in it. The campaign actually splits off once you finally do get past that second fucking tutorial. And splits off, and then there's like a peaceful path that you can take where there's a couple of peaceful scenarios. And then there's a war path you can go on, which actually has like combat and stuff. Hmm. And you have to actually defend your little towns. The funny part was, on that one map where you had to do it in 9 months, by the 2.5 year mark, I had completely filled out the entire map with a town, and I just had residences, and because it lets you keep playing after it's done, after you're done with the objective, and I just kept building shit up everywhere. And Dave was just like, that's an absolutely ridiculous little village for some robots. But it was the entire map, and like you had to zoom out and like pan around it. Oh, wow. I had everything maxed out as much as I could, and I was like, I figured if I was gonna fail that much, I might as well learn what I was doing before I went anywhere else, right? And so then I just really went whole ham into it, and it was so much fun.
Well, then I'm gonna guess for $23.99 you like this one.
I did. I think there's enough content there too. Like, the campaign itself feels a little short, but there's different scenarios as well, plus the sandbox mode. So there's enough to hold up the price tag. Cool. If you like strategy games, I wouldn't say this is a good starter strategy. Don't be distracted by the adorable robots. Definitely go into this knowing what you're doing already.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, next up is Mundawn, developed by Hidden Fields, published by MWM Interactive, released March 16th on Xbox One, PS4, and PC for $19.99. Mundawn is a lovingly hand-penciled horror tale set in the dark, secluded valley of the Alps. Explore various areas full of secrets to discover, survive hostile encounters, drive vehicles, fill your inventory, and solve a variety of handcrafted puzzles. Cole, this looks like a Cole game.
It does. It's artsy fartsy, so check. It's horror, check. It's puzzles, check. It's first person, check, check. We're doing well. Realistically, I should have loved this game. And uh-oh. The concept is there. It's, I don't want to spoil anything. So I'm not even like, because even just starting off describing shit is going to spoil shit. So I don't want to talk about the story, but the concept for the gameplay could be a little more polished. The actual puzzle solving elements are very obtuse. And to an extent, it's like, okay, yeah, fill the pot with water, put the pot on the stove, put the log in the stove. Like, that kind of stuff feels normal. But there are some times where, like, you legit just have to stare off into the distance, and then the solution just kind of hits you. I don't know how to describe it without spoiling. But it basically boils down to, I feel like because the puzzles are obtuse, that leads the pacing of the game and the story it's trying to tell to come to a crawl, and it kind of loses its tension. Like, it's not scary anymore if I have to sit there and stare at the puzzle for 2 hours before I can move on.
Yeah.
At that point, you're like, well, I get it. Everything's shaded in pencil. You know, aesthetically, I really like the look of the game. I will say, I think if it were me and I were making the aesthetic choice, I would have gone less with that look. They tried to do a 3D world that looked like it was pencil drawn. And that leads to some cool aesthetics on, like, the tiles of the floor and things like that. But when it comes to the actual 3D elements, again, it plays into that everything just kind of looks samey and blends together too well, and you can miss otherwise obvious shit, right?
Yeah.
So if it were me, I probably would have gone, I think a 2D point and click pencil aesthetic would have looked a lot better. Personally, that's my art stance, and I'm willing to die on that hill. I think where I played Bad Dream recently, and it had that hand-drawn ink look, and then and the monochrome color palette, and then I look at Mundane and it did the same thing but with graphite, and I'm like, the point and click gameplay worked better with this look than trying to copy and paste this pencil, you know, scrawl onto, I don't say that as a negative way, but, you know, the pencil scrawl onto as a texture of everything in the scene. I just think it would look better if it had gone like a point and click route instead. I think it might have also helped some of the puzzles personally, but for what is there, like, it's a good idea, it's a good concept. My biggest beef is the pacing.
Well, $20, what do you think of Mundane?
It's a little harder of a sale. I definitely think that it's not going to, I don't think it's even going to draw in a lot of just horror fans based on its horror status, right?
No.
Like, I think it's a little bit of a tougher sale. I'm going to go more with a try it, but definitely watch some gameplay footage and make sure that, like, I imagine if you struggle with monochrome images and stuff, that the lack of contrast in that 3D setting can really be a problem for some people.
Yeah. All right, well, moving on. Next game to talk about is called Angels with Scaly Wings, developed by Radical Fi, published by Rattleika Games, released April 30th on Xbox One, Series X, PS4, PS5, and Switch for $9.99. After the discovery of a mysterious portal, you are selected as one of the few humans to travel to the World of Dragons. While you serve as an ambassador, you will learn more about the strangely familiar place and discover that your human colleague knows more than he's letting on. Our friend Serlina covered this one, wrote in a review. This is what she's got to say. Greetings, SML friends and fam. It's your girl Serlina, and this week I'm reviewing Angels with Scaly Wings on the PS4, developed by Radical Fi and published by Rattleika Games. Angels with Scaly Wings is a visual novel that places you as the MC that's been transported to a mirror image of Earth that's populated entirely by dragons. Let's get on to the review. Angels with Scaly Wings starts off fairly weird for a visual novel. The premise alone is pretty unique. The MC willing volunteers to go through a portal that connects to another world. When you get there, you find it's populated by sentient English-speaking dragons who wear normal clothes. In fact, the first dragon you meet is wearing a shirt, tie, and glasses. As you begin to explore the world, you'll find that there are many other similarities, including food, lodgings, and their myths, which largely revolve around what humans are like. Once you get to the meat and potatoes of the game, this is where everything starts to look like your typical romantic visual novel. You can take the dragons out on dates, learn about their world in various ways, and a visual novel isn't complete without your typical whodunit, complete with the obvious murder suspect and with enough twists and turns to keep you guessing. One of the things that I really like about the game is that it does force you to pay attention to the color commentary, if you will. A lot of the mini-games, most of which are attached to achievements. Oh, there's the achievement. Force you to think and pay attention to what you've learned in order to be successful. Naturally, you'll have decisions to make, and these decisions do affect the story. Some aren't very noticeable, but others will definitely impact the ending you can earn, so be aware of that. Let's talk about the characters. The vast majority of characters you'll meet are dragons, and each of them has their own personality quirks. There are different types of dragons as well. Some walk on 2 feet, others walk on all fours. There are dragons that have wings, and it's interesting to see how the game uses these differences to create a varied world. With that being said, while the types of dragons do vary, the personalities are a bit cookie cutter. Each dragon fits into their own little stereotype, and while they're different, their actions are predictable. The nerd dragon behaves as you think a stereotypical nerd would, the cop dragon acts like a cop, and so on and so forth. It was slightly disappointing that the devs didn't deviate from the formula too much. Graphics and music-wise, there's nothing to sing about here. The visual novel, so both are serviceable. The quality of the writing, however, is really good. I consider myself to be a connoisseur of the English language, and there are a couple of words where I was like, let me look this up in the dictionary. The story is solid, and it will push you to keep playing. I was surprised at how quickly I found myself hooked. With that being said, I wouldn't say that this was a quick novel. The game has a ton of achievements attached, so you'll have to play multiple times to get all of them. Shouldn't be too challenging, but it does require time commitment. Angels of Scaling Wings is available on the PS4 and other platforms for $9.99, and should you buy it? Yes, I do think you should buy it. The character archetypes may not be what you're, or may be what you're used to, but I really liked the story and felt the puzzles kept me challenged just enough to want to continue and find out more. Besides, I can think of worse ways to spend an evening. Like listening to this show.
Damn.
Did you play this one at all?
You know what? I was thinking this was a Tuesday game, and I had not done it yet.
Oh, in your
face. I feel
face.
Awful. Yeah, I feel How awful because I was like, that's a Tuesday game. It's fine for Tuesday.
Nope.
It was today, and now I feel bad.
In your face.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully you played the next one, because the next game to talk about is called Blazing Beaks, developed and published by AppLava, released May 7th on Xbox One for $14.99. Roguelite where too much greediness can be fatal, a colorful world with armed birds blazing their way through piles of mutants, monsters, and creepy creatures, lots of mysteries to unravel, secrets to discover, and levels to explore. Ol, tell us about your time with Blazing Beaks.
Have you ever played Enter the Gungeon and thought it would be better if it didn't have bullets and human characters, but if it had ducks and a platypus and a chicken instead?
You're winning me over here.
That's kind of the path that they have taken with Blazing Beaks. And I'm not mad about it at all. I was really impressed with how much effort had gone into like creating the backstories and stuff. So much that I genuinely felt like if you had told me this was from the Enter the Gungeon devs, I would have been like, that seems believable. Like, it's definitely got that same feel when you're picking your characters and stuff. One thing that they did do that's a little odd is that it has 4-player co-op. And I think the levels, the different rooms that you're in, it is a roguelike. It is a twin-stick shooter. That's why I'm making the Gungeon references. But some of the rooms that you enter, well, most of the rooms you enter, are way too small to have 4 sprites running around on them. And it can get a little overwhelming. I didn't even play with all 4. I played with number 1 a little bit. She does not like twin sticks at all. She's very anti-twin sticks. So she didn't play with me for too long. But she kept complaining that she couldn't tell where I was at. And I didn't have the balls to admit that I also couldn't tell where she was at. It is not a bullet hell, though, like Gungeon or most other roguelikes of this genre. It is definitely a little slower paced, a little easier to get into, a little more forgiving. That's not to say it isn't hard. The platypus character only takes 2 hits and he's done. So you really got to punch out with that one. It can be really, really difficult just because if you do get hit, you're kind of fucked. But if you're in, and they don't have the dodge roll, better I forgot what the button was. That's possible. Rowdy. I don't remember there being a dodge roll though. But it can, Rowdy. It can, yeah, it can be really difficult just like be, in these smaller confined areas. A lot of the rooms have like this vinery that's kind of around throughout it. Carnage says he thinks there's a dodge. So there might be, and I just forgot. Or maybe the character I had didn't have a dodge. That could also be it. Because the different characters do have different different settings. Like some of them have more health. Some of them have faster reloads. Things like that. So maybe. I don't remember. I played a lot, and this one wasn't the colonist, okay? But, yeah. Anyway, as far as, like, a twin stick roguelike goes, I had a good time with it. I like I said, I don't think it's as hard as say, something like Enter the Gungeon, but it does have its own difficulty spike. It's not overwhelming. Like, I think I made it to the boss on my first run, and wow. I was just sitting there going, really? A twin stick roguelike? I'm getting better. Usually I have to eat shit a few times. But yeah, I made it to the boss and beat the first boss. Then I got to the next room and I got fucked. And I was like, well, there's that.
Yes. That's what I expect.
I think a lot of the difficulty of it comes from, like I said, some of the rooms are just filled with just obstacles. And you can shoot it and clear it out. But the fact that you're locked into these tinier spaces is what really makes it more difficult than anything. It's not even bullet hell, because only a few enemies ever even shoot at you at any given time. So it's like, if you do get shot, it's mostly just because you didn't have anywhere to move out the fucking way. So if I would have liked it a lot better if the rooms were just open, you know? But for what's there... shit, it's fun. It's adorable. I love the characters. Fuck yeah, a twin stick with a chicken and a platypus and a duck. Like, that's right up my alley. The moment you said chicken, I was like, fuck yeah, I'm on board. And I was on board before I knew there was a chicken. Oh, Carnage found the dodge roll. I don't remember what it was, but I guess it's there and I'm just bad. Come to think of it, I don't use the dodge roll in Gungeon either, and I'd probably make it a lot farther if I did.
Proud of you again.
And the devs of that is dodge roll, aren't they? And I'm just like, no, I don't know. I don't want to hit that button. It's fine.
Yeah, left trigger, that was a hard one to find.
Yeah, well, I mean, if it's a twin stick, I don't ever hit triggers on twin sticks.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah, I just don't. I'm like, well, I got everything I need right here. It's on my right thumb. Ding! You know.
This one's $15. What do you think about Blazing Beaks?
Yeah, it's definitely... it's got the content and everything, and I'm good with the price. It's a lot of fun. I had a good time with it. And, yeah, I give it a buy it.
And it's on sale for 10% off for the first week, so $13.49.
Get your discount.
I might have to grab this one. Son of a bitch.
Don't get in them tiny rooms with other people, though, because you ain't going to figure out. You're just going to die. Play it by yourself.
Good stuff. All right, final game to talk about tonight is called Orbital Bullet, the 360-degree roguelite, developed by Smokestab, published by Assemble Entertainment, released April 22nd on Steam Early Access for $12.99. Orbital Bullet is a fast-paced 360-degree action platformer with roguelite elements where all actions take place in a circular pattern. Fight your way through a variety of procedural planets and use body modifications, crafting, and heaven weaponry. Kill, die, modify. Cole, tell us about Orbital Bullet.
You're going to kill a bit, but you're going to die a lot. Now, this is definitely more of the difficulty I would expect for a roguelike. However, there is the really nice... change of pace where you're not going into these just square flat rooms and having enemies assault you. The rooms for Orbital Bullet are actually circle columns. So when you go into a column, you can move around the circle, but your gunshots also circle around the column. They do not go in a straight line. So you can shoot, for example, if you have an assault rifle, which has a lengthier bullet range on it, you can shoot from one side of the column and hit an enemy that's on the other. That comes in real handy when the fucking dogs that have armor plates on their in front of them start barreling at you, and your only choice is to try to shoot their ass from the other side. It can be a little bit disorienting to get started when you first start playing. Getting a handle of the movement is just really a little off. But once you get into the vibe of moving around in the circle, it's really well done and it plays out really, really well. One of my favorite things about the game, though, is that even though it's in game preview and or early access on Steam, as it were, if you would think that moving around the different circles would be a bit of a pain in the ass, and there was so much room for error in how they could have done that, but they simply made it, if you clear out all the enemies on a level, you press the bumper and it immediately takes you to the next one where you can just keep going with the fight. You don't have to wander around and look for the exit or the teleporter. You just hit the bumper and it teleports you and you're good to go for the next one. And you can just keep that momentum going of moving through the different floors and plowing down through the enemies until you zoom across on a zip line or something to another tower to get to some more enemies and go through again. Very rarely did I ever feel like I was stuck or lost. And not losing that momentum when you're in these small confined spaces without a lot of enemies to keep attacking, keeping you in that momentum of feeling like you're navigating up the ring is really important. And it does it really well.
Nice.
Yeah. So I was like, when I was watching the videos and stuff, I was like, that's really gonna lose its shine after the first couple floors, right? But the way that it just keeps you moving, it's just like, no, this is done. They were paying attention to that momentum and that keeping you in the action. Even when you stop to hit a shop, just you hit the zip line and you're back into the movement again. And it's really quick and fluid, and I really enjoyed it.
Cool. Well, looking at this, it says it is in early access now. They plan to be in early access for at least a year. Mm-hmm. The price does plan to raise through early access. So right now at $12.99, is this something that people should be investing in now? Do they wish list it and wait on it?
Yes, absolutely. Get in on it now. If you like roguelikes and you want to see one with a quirky twist to it that can really change up how you play it, this is the one to put your money on.
Cool.
Yeah, I had a great time with it. In fact, I'll tell you how highly I regarded it. I told the king of I hate everything that he would probably not hate it.
Shiz?
Yeah. And then he looked at it and he was like, yeah, I think I would like it. I was like, hold on now. I didn't say you would like it. I just said you would hate it less than you usually do. I'm not ready to put all my eggs in one basket here. But yeah, it definitely, if you like roguelikes at all, you definitely want to get into it.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that is it for this episode.
Kind of was.
It was a hearty one. Like 2.5 hours we're creeping up on.
Whew. I need a nap.
Can't put up with you fucking people for that long. Big shout out. Jacob's
fault.
Yeah, it is Jacob's fault. Him and his fucking Mortal Kombat. Jeez. So anyway, spoilers about the movie. No. yeah, big shout out to Ryan Niemiller for coming on, hanging out with us again. Love having him on. It is always a blast chatting with him. Thanks to Jacob for coming on, doing his thing. Carnage, because Jacob wouldn't shut the fuck up. Oh, God. Yeah, that's it. Music. I guess I'll look for, I don't know what to play. What should I play?
You know, I've been on a Hozier kick lately, but something tells me you don't have any of that.
No, for the show, not the post show music. I'm talking about
for the show?
Playing on the actual show.
I forget you do that, but you definitely don't play with the fuck ever I listen to on that.
No. I don't know. I'll figure something out. Here's some music.
Ha 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 ha!